Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And this guy was looking real good on Saturday. He had a nice blue suit out there setting the tone for Predators pregame. Darren McFarland joins us now. Darren, what's going on?
Well, it was nice to have TNT not yelling at me, though. That was something different. The TV network not screaming at me to get out of the shot. So that was nice. Guys, maybe Michelle should have hired Little Guy Movers and just move that guy in front of her just out of her way, because that's, one, just a ridiculous hat. And, you know, just get them out of – I don't know. The Viking season is over, right? They were at a hockey game. Were they even wearing hockey clothes?
Yeah, I didn't really know what was going on. Michelle tweeted out a picture Saturday night, and there's I don't know if
like
it was
Norseman
a devil or a –
Yeah, a devil or a Norseman in front of her. I'm not sure.
And great headwear.
No hockey gear on.
Just hanging out.
Well, clearly she was mad because she lost her voice yelling at this guy. He didn't listen.
Just I totally berated him. Yep, it's good stuff.
Go look at the pic.
I'm going right now.
You would have been mad, too. I mean, look, that's what she had to stare at the entire game.
Quite
the
view.
Oh, man.
Great stuff.
I mean, that is pretty sweet, though.
It's a pretty sweet hat.
Rex Road would be the one to be wearing that.
Oh, man. Well, Darren, what did you think of – we'll get to the game itself and the result on the ice, but the environment I thought was incredible on Saturday with – the Tampa fans being here, the Preds fans, I think, showed up and showed out really, really well. What did you think of that day, that environment at Nissan Stadium?
Well, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want it to come off the wrong way. But, I mean, it's just what we've come to expect, right? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, did you hear so-and-so moved to Nashville? It's like there was a time I was like, really? You know, we would do that. But, like, now when you hear that, does anybody really get – well, I mean, I guess Jared did with Aaron Rodgers. But other than that, I mean, does anybody really get, like, you know, like I literally was told, you know, a couple weeks ago, Zach Ertz bought a house here. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, what? Why is he living here? But, you know, we all know why. It's because it's a great place to live, and this is where rich people come build houses or buy houses. And there's no state income tax. Like, we're kind of past being surprised of athletes and musicians or famous people – living in Nashville, right? We're not surprised anymore when we do things the right way and everybody loves it, right? Everybody leaves going, wow, that was awesome. So, I mean, it's just exactly what I expected to be. Like I said, I don't want that to come off poorly, but it just played out exactly what I thought, the way I thought it was going to play out. It was going to be awesome, right? And it did. It lived up to all the billing, all the hype. We never get disappointed in this town, and we always leave everybody wanting more. And, you know, Gary Bettman joined me to begin the pregame, and I asked him at the end, like I always do, what's next for Nashville? And Gary, you know, did not give me an answer like he always does, never gives me an answer. But we know the reason I ask is because we know there's going to be a next, because – teams, you know, and people can't get enough of putting on. It's why I'm so adamant about building a new stadium so we can just keep the momentum going and getting big things here, because everybody wants to come here. It's a no-brainer. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah, it's funny you bring that up because, like, I definitely saw a little bit of George Kittle. The Titans have got to get George Kittle.
Oh,
like,
George,
come on.
Kittle's at the gate.
He loves Forsberg.
Forsberg. Oh, my gosh.
What about the actual hockey team?
They need a tight end.
It works out perfect. Ertz and Kittle in the two tight end set. Are
what
you kidding me?
What a duo that would be. My goodness.
Could just work out here at home with his teammates. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
why did my voice just get so high? I don't know why I just broke out in a high voice talking about George.
Yeah, it sounded like Sergei Bobrovsky the other day.
Well done.
Nice.
Thank you. I'll leave now.
That's really
show
that's
yourself
good.
Out, Robbie. Mic drop.
I forgot my question. Oh, yeah, the Preds. What did you think of the week for the Preds, the three games? What did that tell you?
Well, it was a good week. Obviously, Saturday night didn't finish up, which would have been a fantastic week. Look, it was a great week no matter what. I mean, they went down to Florida. They came back three times. and they won by two goals. They've only done that twice in franchise history, where they've been down and came back and tied a game on three different occasions and won by two goals. The other time, I think, was in 2005. So, and they beat the best. By the way, I think they've wrecked the Panthers. Like, they can't win at home since Nashville went down there and beat them last Tuesday. They've lost, I think, three straight at home. When they were 23-3 going into that game, of course, the Thursday night game against Dallas, and it wasn't easy. We know that. And they went in the shootout and Pekka's night, and it was just, you know, all the formers there, and it was just awesome to see some people that the fans have had great memories with. Those players have had great memories here. Players that I've had great memories, and you know, it was awesome to catch up with Shea Weber and others that I haven't talked to in a long time. So that night was fantastic. Look, Saturday was awesome, as I've already stated. It just didn't get the outcome. What did I think, Joe? I thought it was a really good week, other than, you know, they weren't able to get at least a point in the Stadium Series game. But overall, I still think, you know, they set themselves up. We said it was a big week, and I think they delivered.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Bobby and Rex Road. And Darren, one of the things that I've been thinking about over the course of this past week is Tanner Jeannot. He scores his 18th of the year on Saturday, and to me, it's moved from, okay, this is a really nice story, to Tanner Jeannot, to now I've allowed myself to think, all right, like, where is this going? Like, what is he going to become? He's probably going to score 25 goals this year, at least, if he stays healthy. He's at 18 in 53 games. He's going to end up around 25 goals. You know, he's 24 years old. He's just now really starting to break into the league. And I'm sitting there asking myself, like, where is he going? I was talking to a bunch of NHL.com people the other night, and they were like, this Tanner Jeannot guy is unbelievable. And I was like, yeah, well, just get ready. It's incredible the way that he's played. Where do you think this is going with Tanner Jeannot? What do you think? I hate asking the ceiling question, so I won't do that. But where do you think his trajectory is taking him right now? The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof. Did those NHL.com people tell you they knew that the Preds were going to protect him too?
They did not say that.
No, they didn't, did they? He is second, guys. He is tied for second most goals by a rookie in Predators franchise history. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's play a little trivia on your show. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be asking you questions, but do we know who holds the most goals for a rookie in Predators franchise history?
Off the top of my head, I'm going Craig Smith.
Craig Smith. Joe?
I've just thought of somebody.
Arvidsson, but did he qualify in the 15-16 years?
Yeah, those are great guesses, but it's Philip Forsberg.
That makes sense.
26. So, Robbie, you said 25. So, he's going to be hovering right around a franchise record.
Jeez,
so,
I can't believe we didn't think of Philip Forsberg.
Well,
we don't talk about him too much, so.
He's out of sight, out of mind, right? Yeah. I mean, so, Tanner Jeannot is tied with whom with 18 goals? He's going to pass him, we know. But who is he tied with currently for second most goals by a rookie?
I'm going rattle off.
Joe?
Okay, me too.
Yep, you guys nailed it. Nice job. Nicely done, boys.
Well, I mean, I just copied Robbie, but thank you.
But you said it with conviction. Yeah. You really did. So, I mean, where is this going? I mean, I think where it's going is he may end up being the best rookie that's ever, you know, this team has ever had, right? I mean, when it's all said and done. I mean, is it crazy to think that he could get more than 26? It's probably – I mean, I think you're right. I think he's hovering right around that – 24, 25, 26, 27. Let's play the range game.
Yep.
24 to 27, I'm hitting stop, right? So he's either going to come in right at it, just under it, or just over it. I mean, I think that's what we're talking about, which would be the best a rookie has ever done in this franchise's history. So I think that pretty much to me tells you the significance of what Tanner Jeannot has meant to this team and to this season, to the success they've had this season.
How about the Calder for him? Like, what would it – I feel like with those, you know, you've got – you know, Zegras is more hyped and all that stuff, and you know, Raymond is very good for a bad team. But, I mean, I guess is there – other than him continuing to produce and end up with great numbers, you know, maybe the Preds surging a little bit, make him a little bit more visible. I do feel like this is the kind of week that opens some eyes to him.
I think – the problem is Lucas Raymond isn't going away. He had two more goals again the other night.
Well, who didn't score in that game?
Well, that's true. I mean, did anybody see,
it was a
honestly,
two-point conversion.
The final?
Yeah.
Right. Did anyone see the final of that game? 10 to – guys, it was 8-7 midway through the third period.
Yeah. After so it was right. 7-2. But yeah,
after 7-2, that's right. Yeah, not a good night for Toronto in goal. I think he got pulled. Yes, he did get pulled.
Good red zone defense by them, though.
Yeah, no doubt. Like they did, they bend, but they didn't break.
That's right,
or something like that. I think the problem with this, and I've said it all year, and I hope it changes, but the problem is, I think you already kind of hinted at it, Joe. For me, Zegras has gotten so much attention. You know, the stupid lacrosse move that he's made work. It gets so much attention, and I get it. And, you know, he's had some dazzling wow moments, right? The highlight moments where people are talking about him on the national stage, where NHL Network is talking about him, ESPN is talking about him. Unfortunately, that's what people remember, right? And I don't know how closely the national media is paying to Tanner DeJeuneau. I don't know. Robbie, you just, to me, it didn't sound like they are because no. It was like they're going, wow, who's this Tanner DeJeuneau guy is good. Well, that kind of tells me like, oh, you haven't been really watching him this year? Oh, that's probably not good for people who vote for the Calder. So my guess is he's going to get snubbed. And probably Zegras is the one who's going to win it just because he's had the more wow moments. Look, they're all good, right? They're all deserving. I think Tanner Janot, if you really look at everything he brings to the table, how many bring everything to the table like him? I would say none, but I think Zegras is probably the one who's going to win it.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Our guest every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You can catch his show each weekday from 10 to 2. Darren, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
By the way, guys, if they ever want to fix the power play, just schedule another Stadium Series game or outdoor game.
Apparently so.
The power play works outdoors for the Preds.
Yeah, the hit rate's pretty good.
They don't have an even strength goal yet in the outdoor game.
No. But hey, that power play's clicking, man. It's good
stuff.
Power
play is booming outside.
That's right.
So just keep that in mind. Guys, thank you. Had fun.
Absolutely, Darren. Appreciate you. Darren joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Darren had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports as well. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. You can combine NBA player props you love with your favorite NHL scorers as well for a chance to score an even bigger payout. So maybe you like Ja Morant over on points out there in Memphis, and you like Ryan Johansson over on points with the Predators. You can do that now. And if you don't want to build your own Same Game Parlay, check out their popular Same Game Parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. Last month, over 14,000 customers won a total of $1.1 million during the Bucks at Lakers game. So make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Cirelli, now right side, setting and shooting, and the rebound and the score! Tanner Janot! A power play goal, the Predators in front, 1-0. That put it at the net and crashed, Tanner Janot.
Tanner Janot gets the Predators on the board the other night against Tampa Bay. His 18th goal of the season, 18 goals for Tanner Janot. He could end up around 25, 26, 27 goals this year. How about that? What a storyline that would be if Tanner Janot breaks Philip Forsberg's rookie goal scoring record for the Preds. That would be quite something. How many people had that one?
Yeah, quite something that neither of us guessed Forsberg.
Yeah, that was good. Real good capital J journalism on our part.
But you made up for it with Radulov.
I did. The Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena appreciate and recognize military first responders and their families. Your company can help fund tickets for these heroes during Ford Military Week, the week of March the 7th. Learn more about the Hero Salute Program at NashvillePredators.com/Military Week. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I get the third line is our herd line, but why not move Janot up with Johansson and move Cunnan down in his place? I think that would be something to consider. That has been a popular thought today on the text line.
April gets credit for being the first.
That is true.
But very popular sentiment.
Yeah.
And I get it. I don't think I'd do it, though.
I get it. I would think about it. Now, I will say he has been up there with Johansson at times this year. I think they played well. They played fine together. I think in a perfect world, you want to leave that line alone because it's so good. But I will say, like, you're going to have to find somebody to play with Johansson. Honestly, I have been impressed with Tomasino the last couple of games. I don't know that this year he's the right answer to play with Johansson. I think he's played pretty well the last couple of games. So I'm interested to see if they can leave that going. And look, maybe it's you're leaving Tomasino up there and you do move Janot and Cunning goes down. But either way, that's something they're going to have to figure out as they move forward. I just think in a perfect world, like that Sissons line is playing so well right now, I don't know why you mess with it too much.
Right. And Janot is producing with that line, and Trennan's producing, and they have great chemistry. And I think they love what that line does as a collective for them, and I don't think they're going to mess with it. I wouldn't.
TK on the text line says, anybody know what the economic impact of what Saturday night brought us was? New stadium, Super Bowl, Final Four should be a no-brainer. I work at a prominent music venue. We had a load of Tampa Bay fans there on Thursday night, and they spent a load of money as well. I imagine this was I can tell just by walking around, it's a pretty good weekend to own a business on Broadway, I can tell you that.
Yeah. It's a good question. Don't know the number, but I'd say significant.
Yeah.
And, yeah, again, that was new stadium, Super Bowl, Final Four, agree. Well, new stadium, Super Bowl, period. New stadium, indoor, Final Four.
Yes.
Although, I mean, I love playing hoops outdoors.
You know, a little blacktop out there.
Just need to have like a temporary, you know, roof if needed.
Yeah.
You know?
A little shelter.
Yeah.
Chris on the text line says, remember when Jared asked Poyle why he protected Janot? And Poyle said, because I know more than you. That's coming from Chris on the text line. I do think that got blown out of proportion a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes I forget who the reporter was. Some media person tweeted out the quote without the full quote, and then everybody made fun of Jared. I don't remember who did that, but it happens.
Yeah.
Some idiot in Nashville.
Jodavion Rex Croak? Yeah. That guy. Watch out for him.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, though, like people still – what percentage of people who have any knowledge of that situation still think it was just Poyle saying – I know more than you, dummy. Hang up. And Poyle was actually like typical, like polite Poyle. Like, no, I know more than you about this particular situation.
Yeah,
like, you know,
it was basically his way of saying, yeah, we've had conversations about Tanner Janot.
Right,
basically, like, what we
actually
talked about.
We actually think that they might have grabbed him.
Yeah. So it's worked out pretty well for the Predators.
But actually, it has. And look, I mean, For me, I can speak for myself. It was a small sample size last year. It was still like, wow.
Yeah.
They lose Olivier, and this kid is good.
Better?
He's right there with him. He fits in well. He's good, but we never discussed Janot, did we? Did we discuss Janot going into the expansion draft?
No.
As a possibility?
No, because, just being real with you, I didn't think there was any chance Seattle would take him. So.
Right.
I didn't consider that to be a possibility. We were talking Yarncroke and Sissons and all these different people.
Right. I mean, even though the Preds obviously made the right choice there, I'm sure they weren't like, yeah, he's going to get us 20, 25 goals next year, so we should probably protect him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe they
Although
did.
I will say, like, it is interesting, and this, again, this doesn't always work out this way, but some people are just late bloomers, and this kind of feels like he's a perfect example of that because we were talking earlier this year about, you know, I think he was like 17 with Moose Jaw, which, by the way, great name, Moose Jaw Warriors of the WHL. He played 52 games and scored 5 points. He had one goal. And then you fast forward to like when it seemed to really click for him in the AHL, like before he got called up last year. You know, he played for Milwaukee 2 years ago, had 20 points in 57 games, 5 goals. I mean, it's fine. Last year with Chicago in the AHL, he had 21 points in 13 games, 10 goals, 11 assists. I mean, he was just lighting it up in the AHL. So, for whatever reason, it seems like it just clicked with him. And now, you know, he's going to end up with 25 goals and probably 45 points this year. I mean, it's a heck of a story. It really is.
Oh, yeah. And he's obviously such an intimidator and such a identity guy. They use that a lot. He's a tone setter. And you can't take runs at guys in this team like you used to be able to not that long ago. In part because of him, large part.
Yeah.
He's going to find you.
Although, I mean, the fights were they were coming fast and furious the other night. Michael McCarron gets in a fight.
Yeah.
Ryan Johansson gets in a fight, which I didn't see that one coming.
I mean, we've seen Johansson and Forsberg get in fights recently.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Tanner, as you know, rub it off on everybody.
Like, Duchesne almost got in one the other night. He got destroyed into the boards in Dallas, and he went and speared someone. So I guess for Duchesne, that's close. Close to being in a fight.
Yeah.
It's a rough and tumble team, man. It didn't. Don't mess with those guys.
That one was like, okay, never mind. Yeah. Pretty quickly, but yeah.
Hey, they're physical.
I mean, it's that, you know, 2 years ago, of course, they played in the Winter Classic.
Yep.
So you think back to how, like, that team and now this team, how different they are from that perspective. Pretty significant.
Well, they're just so much more fun to watch, too, right? Like, this team is, like, nobody's going to confuse them for, like, the 16-17 Penguins out there with the skill level that they have. They're just fun to watch. Like, physicality, you know they're not going to get pushed around. You know they're never really out of a game. Like, the effort level is always going to be there. To me, and I've watched a ton of hockey over the years, but to me, like, this is the most enjoyable team to watch in a while. Like, I mean, since the President's Trophy year, because they were so good that year.
Yes.
But this is the most enjoyable team to watch. Like, I got to tell you, like, a couple years ago, right after Laviolette got fired and kind of getting to the process where they're at right now, at times it was a chore to watch this team because it was rough out there, and they have totally reshaped that.
18, 19, 19, 20, and certainly early last season.
Yeah.
It was a tough watch. Tough watch.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And, you know, I think that obviously, again, this is why I make the comparison. Very different, but similar in, like, whenever he takes a shift, and you think back to back then, go back to, you know, 16, 17, all that stuff too. Whenever he takes a shift, I remember, like, if I went with my kids, I'd be like, okay, watch 33. That's why I compare Janot to Arvidsson, because he's become that guy. When he's out on the shift, okay, watch him. He's going to do something on this shift that's worth watching.
Gator Tim on the text line says, why is nobody talking about the quick whistle on the Forsberg shot and McCarron rebound goal as well? This is a problem that the NHL continues to ignore. The puck was 3 feet above the crease. No reason the ref shouldn't see that puck. Honestly, I had a bigger issue with the Forsberg one he's talking about. That was against Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, Ottinger never had the puck.
He didn't have the puck at all.
At all. Yeah. And the puck was still loose, and Forsberg had it coming around the net. Now,
intent to blow.
Yeah. And, you know, the McCarron one, yes, the puck was loose. I actually think Vasilevsky had it for about a second and a half. So that one I've got less of an issue with. But it does suck when you see McCarron follow up and put it in the back of the net. And then all hell breaks loose after that too, by the way. They're sitting there fighting each other. I put my lip reading skills to the test of McCarron there. They had the Jumbotron up there. And I think he was yelling at Ryan McDonough from Tampa Bay. And he was just there was an expletive thrown in there, but basically he was telling him the puck was loose, you idiot. There was another word he threw in there too that I can't say. So mute.
God. You made it.
Like, I go weeks without muting.
I don't know about
three
that.
Three and a half hours, Joe, on a Monday. You were so close.
So I was just going to ask before I muted myself. So is it like the puck was in?
Yeah.
Bleep bleeper?
Well, it was. Hey. The puck was loose. Because I guess McDonough was mad that he shot the puck in the net. And
yeah.
He's like, well, it was loose. There was just another word he tossed in
there.
Yeah, I love some in-game trash talk. Hockey may be the best sport at that, the in-game trash talk.
Yeah, and some of it was picked up, too, a little bit in the stadium, which was pretty nice.
It was awesome. not for the faint of heart down there. Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Big win for the Tennessee Vols over the weekend against Auburn. We'll get into that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah. Zakai, this was a physical, emotional game. How did you guys pull it out today?
We knew we just had to be the tougher team. We knew that Auburn was going to give us a fight, and they sure enough did. But we knew at halftime that we had to come out in the second half playing tough and not worry about fouls and be ourselves.
Auburn had six straight wins against you guys. They come out pregame and dance on your logo. Can you take me into how badly you guys wanted this one?
Oh, man, words can't even explain how bad we wanted this one. We felt disrespected. We watched the video over and over before the game. We said we knew what we got to do.
Undefeated in this building. Your third win over a top five team. What is it about this crowd?
That's him. That's what he does. He's the heart and soul of our team. Zakai Ziegler, learn the name.
What is it about this crowd and this team that you love so much?
Man, it's not like Rocky Top. The energy all around campus, even when we're not playing basketball, just walking around campus, going to class, the energy is just different here. It's not like Rocky Top.
Go celebrate.
Let's go!
That was Zakai Ziegler, hype man for the Tennessee basketball program.
Anybody?
That's a big win against Auburn the other day.
I want to know, do we know who came in? Who came in there?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know who the other player was.
It was not Tony Vitello. I'll tell you that.
I love
how he was close by.
I love how Ziegler has such a deep voice. You know, he's like 5'7".
Looks like a child out there.
He's like Lou. Hey, New York. Here we go, boys. he's awesome.
Should have known Auburn's in trouble, and they started dancing on that logo.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So that turned into a nice, Twitter.
There's a whole lot of tweets
Vault
about
Twitter
that.
Versus whatever War Eagle Twitter.
Yeah.
Apparently they, according to the Auburn side, they do that every game.
It's like the Titans.
Right. Exactly. According to the Tennessee side, they disrespected them. I guess I haven't even seen video of it. Like, was it,
I mean, they were just huddled up dancing on the, there were a few that looked like they were maybe some intentional
stomping.
Stomps.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But, again, you run over the logo every time you're bringing the ball up the court. So,
right.
How big of a deal is it, really?
Right. Now, if you rub your butt on it, as a student, watched Juwan Howard do at Breslin Center, that is a little bit different.
I would say so.
He rubbed his butt right on there.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there. That used to be. Well, it's still. Good
rivalry.
It's
kind of incredible.
The hatred back then between those two teams. Oh, my goodness.
Chris on the text line says, Michelle is just itching to get back at Rex Road. She was real happy about that mute malfunction.
She was.
She was excited about it.
She was giddy about it.
Michelle's had enough of GB Joe.
Yeah, you really are a Vols fan.
I'm not a Vols fan.
Yeah, you are.
Dude, whatever. Okay. Well, I'm going to.
The reason I keep saying it is because you get heated when I say it.
Well. It's been my entire life. You're some fan, and you hate my team, and you love that team.
Vandy Joe.
I can't have you joining the internet masses.
He's got Vandy Joe on one shoulder and GB Joe on the other shoulder.
I'll show you tweets and comments on stories with Vols fans, especially if I write about Vandy. Okay, Vandy Joe. what else you got there, Vandy Joe? So, not going to have it.
Oh, man. Big win for the Vols on Saturday, 67-62 the final. It is – Joe, to me, it's amazing that they won a game against a top five team when they shot 32%. They shot 32.8% from the field. Obviously, they had 27 free throws in the game, so made some buckets there, made 21 of them. But just great defense by Tennessee through different stretches this game. It was one of those things where you just had to gut out a win, and they were able to do it. So now you're talking about wins against Kentucky, Arizona, and now Auburn added to the list as well. Some pretty high-quality wins for this Vols team this year.
No, there are very few teams that have wins this good. And as Mike Wilson said earlier, all of their losses are quadrant one, so they don't have bad losses. They're, to me, a very strong three seed. And we'll see if they could get to a two. But more importantly, because I think a two or a three, it's just much better than being a four or a five. More importantly, I think that they're trending toward just being a team that could be really dangerous in March. Josiah James, he's such an important player. He is, whether he hits shots or not. He didn't have a great day, but he did hit 2 of 4 from three. He has 10 and 9. They spread around the scoring, four guys in double figures, and the young bigs, Huntley Hatfield, some big moments. You know, even Plavsic gave them some really key. He had a huge defensive rebound late where it's like, okay, that's why he's on the floor right there. Like, that's a big, you know, just one defensive rebound. But the rebounding domination, he's the number two rebounding team in the SEC. There's a lot to like.
They out-rebounded Auburn 54-31.
Yeah, with 21 offensive boards.
Yeah.
5 from Huntley Hatfield, 6 from Fulkerson. So, you know, and again, Fulkerson, you know, 2 for 8, not great, but still he gives you 9 rebounds. And they, you know, the thing you worry about is still like the 8-minute stretch where they score 4 points.
Yeah.
Which happened in this game. But again, for them to fight back now, they fought back in an incredible atmosphere. The best atmosphere in the SEC. And, you know, look, that's a bit, but that's a big part of this. That's what you don't have in March, right? Like, you're not going to have a crowd that pulls you along
right.
to make these plays like you're going to, you know, you're not going to have that at these neutral sites. So you got to keep that in mind. It's more impactful than any other sport. I fully believe that when you get these packed buildings. But still, lot to like. And I start with those freshman point guards. 33 minutes from Chandler, you know, 13 points, a couple assists. Ziegler doesn't have a good shooting day, but he goes 8 for 9 from the line, 13 points, 3 steals, is absolutely all over Wendell Green. I mean, the dude couldn't breathe. And when you're – not only are they good, you know, obviously better offensively to have point guards like that, but defensively those guys are checking like freshmen usually don't check.
Well, I thought it was good to see Fulkerson get back kind of in the flow minutes-wise. You know, 24 minutes, 9 rebounds in the game. Like you said, 6 offensive rebounds. I mean, he only had 5 points and didn't shoot the ball particularly well. But, you know, it's with him in the fold, number one, it feels like whatever injury-wise he was dealing with, he's gotten past at this point with 24 minutes being played. But I thought some key rebounds for him in that game.
Yeah, and he's fine. You know, he's – like, I think they've kind of settled in. You know, Fulkerson, yeah. Maybe we thought – I mean, I will speak for myself. I thought maybe he'd be something different last year than he was.
Yep.
Like, he's not going to be an every night go-to player for you. But he's going to go out there and run around and make some plays. He's a really smart positional defender. Obviously, he takes the charges. We know he will take some charges. He will try – and he'll try to take others that he won't get. Probably a good thing on some of those flops. But the guy, you know, he's still he's an asset and – you know, there are times when I see them at the 5, and it's like Kamwal right now would be really handy. But with those young guys coming on, if they keep progressing, they could really have something here.
I thought Smith was going to shoot every time down the floor. He ended up at 21, went 3 for 9 from 3, and had 27 points. But he's not afraid to pull that guy.
No. No, he's not.
He's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. No, he's I mean, there's a little bit of like Kevin Durant with him, a little bit. Not as good.
Yeah.
Not as fluid. But that it reminds you a little bit of that, just that quick release that's so unblockable, no matter where he is, like he knows he's gonna get a shot off, and it's a really good shot. I mean, when he had the 4-point play, I was like, what is going on right now? But, you know, Wendell Green with a lot of Ziegler on him, 2 for 15.
Yeah,
And this is also a problem with Auburn sometimes is that, you know, Johnson and Green, they go 9 for 28. The 28, maybe a little bit much.
Maybe a little excessive. Doing 102.5 The Game this Wednesday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cage. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Seattle Kraken. It's Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cage, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. We'll come back. We'll take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The overall, you talk about growth, the growth with Brandon Clark and Jaren's defensive games. Y'all's as a trio, a big
deal. Where are you from, bro?
Oh, I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, that's a sick accent, bro. I haven't heard that before. That's awesome, dude. That's sick.
I appreciate amazing. the con- I'm a fan of yours as well. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, mate. Sorry, mate. Go ahead.
No problem at all.
Nice.
No, Steven Adams from the Memphis Grizzlies, who, by the way, has been my favorite NBA player outside of Dwayne Wade for a long time. Love me some Steven Adams. Really for no other reason than that. Like, he does stuff like that all the time. Apparently he's never heard that thick of a Tennessee accent before.
I know.
Steven Adams being from New Zealand, that was quite the accent matchup that we had there.
But I'm also like, bro, how long you been in Tennessee?
Yeah, you've been there for a while, man.
Also, the questioner, you know, he's like, I like your accent. He's like, I've been a fan of yours too. Like, you know, he wasn't saying he's a fan of yours, okay? He's just saying he's
a fan
accent.
Of your accent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But
that's all he was saying.
Yeah, that was pretty great. That's sick, bro.
That was the best part. He's like, sick, bro.
Cheers, mate. Keep on talking. Everybody loves a good Tennessee accent. Can you imagine what Steven Adams' reaction would be if you heard Adam Sparks? We need to get Steven Adams and Adam Sparks in the same room.
There's got
is there a way to
be
make
a
this
way.
Happen?
Okay. See, but the problem is it's Wilson covers hoops, and you know Sparks is purely. Cause I was going to say, if we can get a Vol, a VFL on the Grizzlies.
Well, we need Eve Pons to be called up on like a permanent basis.
Yeah.
And then send Sparks out there.
And then it's kind of like a downtime for football. And Sparks is going to do a Pons, you know, the Grizzlies.
Steven, can I get your thoughts on Eve Pons? What makes him the right fit for the Grizz?
Right fit. Yeah. Sparkles.
Friend of the show. We love him.
And by the way, the Knoxville News Sentinel did a piece on Bev, his wife.
Yeah.
How, like, what it's like to cover a team when your wife is, like, such a huge fan.
Yeah.
And I haven't read it yet, but it's a great idea.
Yeah,
She is absolutely the number one Tennessee fan and Braves fan combined. It's got to be number one in the world.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that would lay claim to that argument, but no, I don't doubt you.
No, there's a lot of – there are. There are a lot of – but, man, she is diehard, which is pretty great.
That is great.
Yeah, that's a great call. Sparks and Steven Adams together.
Got to get them together in the same room. I feel like Tennessee is trending basically in the opposite direction they were last year. Last year, we were talking about, you know, are they the third best team in the country behind Gonzaga and Baylor? And then it just went totally sideways for Tennessee in conference play. And by the time the tournament came around, it was rough for Tennessee. You know, the shooting is not always there, and this team has flaws. But results-wise and really the way that they've been playing as of late, I think you feel way differently about this team heading into the tournament than you did a year ago with the Vols.
Yeah, I mean, they've played that defense all year. Yeah, like you go through last year, they still had they had some moments, you know, last year after that. Like they crushed Kansas in the Big 12 SEC. Shoot, they went to Kentucky, and although Kentucky was bad – and silenced an already not all that loud Rupp on February 6, 2021.
She's just shaking her head. There's nothing.
But, nothing. But by the way, Kentucky did come in and thump them. And they're just kind of up and down. If you remember, you know, they played. I was like, okay, that's the team that you need to be against Alabama. But then they blew it. That was a wild game. And everybody remembers. I mean, Alabama was, you know, they were. That's one of the stories of college basketball, and they just couldn't quite put great games together or any kind of streak together. They're win loss. I mean, this team is absolutely on an upward trajectory, and it's a much better team than last year's team. Last year's team did not have the right pieces in the right places. For the most part, this team does.
Yep, and you know, feeling pretty good to close out the season. You got Georgia coming up, and then Arkansas on Saturday at home. So. We'll see if Tennessee can get some revenge on Arkansas at Thompson Bowling Arena, where they have not lost this season. You get that win, and as you know, Mike Wilson said earlier, you're 23-7 overall heading into the conference tournament. I mean, this team could do some damage in the conference tournament. They're going to be in either way at this point, but if you could win the SEC tournament and get that notch in your belt, you threw this question out to him. I'll throw it to you. What do you think is more important? Maybe getting a share of the SEC regular season title or winning the conference tournament for the first time since like 1979 or whatever it's been.
Well, this is very much mine. So Mike and I both, coming from Big Ten country, like the regular season up there is way more important than the conference. But yes. The title, conference championship, or conference tournament. Partially because, like, I mean, they've only had a conference tournament for like 20 years anyway. So it's kind of a new thing. Like in the ACC, I feel like regular season titles, no one even notices.
Yeah.
It's the ACC tournament has been such a – so with the SEC, I do – I mean, look, I feel like winning an SEC regular season championship means more because obviously you did it over months. But I think I would pick the conference tournament. It's been forever for them, and this year's tournament is going to be – I mean, those top four are all – that's a legit top four. You know, Auburn, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee. I mean, I think in terms of that, they have a larger group of – top crust this year than they do in a lot of years. So if you come out of that group, I mean, that would be an incredible semis if those are the semis, whatever the combination is.
Well,
if you come out of that group, you've done something.
Well, and you got, I think, a decent chance at a 2-seed then if you come out of that group, because that would mean another couple of wins over a Kentucky or an Auburn or an Arkansas at that point.
Exactly. Like, right. Now, you know, you get into the whole – you play on Sunday, and are they going to change things around based on a Sunday result?
Right.
You know, if you're a 3. But if other things happen, Duke falters, Purdue falters, some of these 2s, you know, then, yeah, that could be – at least that could give you a chance to go to Greenville, which for Vols fans would be amazing. I mean, then you're talking about a lot of people driving there, and you're probably talking about pretty good home court for an NCAA site. Like, you know, like every year – Duke and Carolina, like, yeah. Somehow there's always a site in Charlotte or Raleigh, yeah. And then one of them or both of them always end up there.
Big W for Nashville SC last night. They kicked things off against Seattle, get a 1-0 win. Anibal Godoy, the goal scorer last night in the Western Conference this year. So they've moved back over to the West after COVID changed some things up. So a different challenge this year, but number one, nice start to the season for Nashville SC. I was looking through The Athletic yesterday. There are some pretty high expectations for this Nashville SC team this year.
Yeah, we had a few of our writers of our soccer team pick them to win it all.
Yeah.
And a couple picked Hani Mukhtar to be MVP.
Yeah.
Big expectations. And actually, by the way, some people picked Seattle to win it all.
Yeah.
You start the season out there and beat them, so... pretty impressive. Like, I mean, it's kind of, and I understand different sports and different situations rules out, but it's kind of like Vegas being stunningly good from the start and then being able to maintain that as like a really good team, a team that you would put in the pool of contenders, I think, still.
Yeah.
On the fringe maybe this year, but Nashville SC is kind of like building from being surprisingly good to now considered a legit contender.
Well, sustaining it and building on it. Like, they defend really well, and last year the firepower went along with it, and that's kind of the expectation to be more of the same this year. So big win last night for Nashville SC. I know some Nashville SC fans made the trip out there to Seattle as well, so good to see that as well. Make sure you check out the Preds Foundation Wine Festival and Tasting presented by Deacon's New South Restaurant. Returns to Bridgestone Arena Friday, March the 11th. Sample over 200 and 25 high-end wines, enjoy delicious culinary creations from local restaurants, and bid in an extensive silent auction as well. Tickets start at $89. Visit nashvillepredators.com/wine for more information. Joe Rexroad, you'll be in Indy tomorrow checking out the NFL Combine, doing the show from there. It'll be a big day.
So Pro Football Writers, we sign up to transcribe,
yeah,
and we all share it. So then, you know, it's a great service to each other, you know, right? I just signed up for Trent Baalke.
Yeah, come on. Yes.
I'm excited. I'm also going to make sure to hang out with Dan. I'm going to be hanging out with some Lions media tonight.
Please
hearing
do.
Hearing stories of Dan Campbell, and I'm going to go see some Dan Campbell, too. Very excited about
that. We need a live report from that this week.
I'll give you some videos of Dan Campbell.
No question about it. That's going to do it for us here today. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.